Thanks everybody come here. Thanks to organizer give me a chance to talk here. And so the title for today's talk is Service Conjectures and L functions. Okay. The more correct title should be the application of the partial sums of the coefficient of the division series, but anyway, they will involve the several conjectures or the some L function we are concerned. So it's my apology if somebody heard those things before. First of all, I want to define this called the Silber class. Okay, so the story starts with the 1989, and Silber in the conference, Silber announced the main collection of the a certain set of the Dirichlet series, and they give condition and they make conjectures. So this comes from definition by Silberg, and what you say is following. So the Silberg class basically is a set, let me say S, of the Dirichlet series. And satisfying five conditions. Okay, let me just try to address this one. And so let me just say if the F belongs to the Silber class. And the first condition is because the set of Dirichlet series, so that means F of S can be written as dimension n from 1 to infinity, an over n to the S. It just means Dirichlet series. And for normalizing purpose, we want the first coefficient just equal to 1. And then we want to use this absolute convergence for real power of S is greater than 1. In fact, this comes from the later condition. And the second one is the F of S has a homomorphic continuation, so this one is 10. To an entire function, okay, of finite order. And last part is crucial. After you have the finite order plus the function equation, in fact, it's just order one, and the finite order, and except a possible pole. At s equal to one. And the third, you can see what is going on here. So next one should be the function equation. So there is exists some kind of the Q is some positive number, and exists some kind of M belong to the positive integer, such that between I between 0 and M, just in case 0, M equals 0, that means there is no this condition, and there is some alpha I. It's positive, and also some gamma I is some complex number, and we exist the real power of the gamma I is greater equal than 0. Also, those all things just also there's some complex number such that it's known is equal to 1. So this is just setting for the function equation, and so we define this delta x is just equal to the q to the s and the gamma, so it's the product of I from 1 to the n. Of gamma of alpha is plus gamma I. And we define this phi of s just equal to delta s times f of s. Okay? And the function equation we expect will just equal to gamma of the phi bar of the 1 minus s bar. Okay? Of course, we know this functional equation. This delta is not unique because you have a duplicate formula. So basically, you have a lot of choice, even you have a choice for the Q. But this friend just say, we have this kind of stuff and make these things happen. And usually that's enough. And number four, as you think about this, lead to the Riemann delta function. So next one is Euler product. So f of s can be written as the product of the p for prime, f of p to the s. And what's this local factor? And can be written exponential of the summation k from 1 to infinity and p to the kt and p to the minus k. And not just that, we have the control sum coefficients. So this pk, this is your big O of p to the k theta for the theta less than 1/2. And later on, it will be crucial for the classification theorem. And number 5, and it's kind of non-trivial, but this means it comes from Ramanujan, because Ramanujan conjecture. And basically say, for any epsilon greater than 0, and if any coefficient, Fourier coefficient for this one would be big O of n to the epsilon. Of course, this constant depends on your function s, also the epsilon. Okay? So that's what the server set up this set. It's called the server class. And we can give the quick example. And the first one is the remind zeta function. And definitely satisfy everything. And such one delete the L function. So the chi is a primitive character. It also satisfies everything. And then you want to generalize the whole thing. For instance, normalize L function for elliptic curve. It also satisfies it because the Tanimashima-Weil conjecture should be proved. And furthermore, if you need the class, you know this is the L function attached to the classical representation of the GON. Of course, not quite true because we don't know Ramanujan conjecture, so modulo the Ramanujan conjecture. Okay, so basically all the L functions, because it's from Lagrange functoriality, we know that every L function can be part of, or we find really interesting, become kind of the L function come from the GON. So basically, if we assume the Ramanujan conjecture, and the server class including all the L functions. So all our interesting L functions were including a server class, so you want to study a server class, the same as you study all the L functions you are interested in at once. Okay. So what we really can say about this server class, so this is some basic property. Okay, let me just say function 0 because it's too trivial, and because it's S really just a multiplication monoid. And you can easily check that you have a function you can get duplicated and all the coefficients can be controlled. And second one is, the first one is we try to get some invariant for this server class, and what we can say about this one. And first of all, this is something come from the function equation, though this function equation is not unique, but we can say for the Q, it comes from the function equation, this is called the conductor. And the other thing is called the D, by definition, is the twice of the summation of alpha I from Y to M. It also from the function equation, this is called the degree of F. Okay? And both here are independent of the choices of the function equation. And this one you really can prove. So basically we can put this F in subscript. That means for this is a unique F there. So this is both are invariant for this server class. So some classification theorem must become classified by those things. Okay. And what we can say the classification theorem, and it's successful for small degree in the following sense. Let me say this too. If this F belongs to the server class, if the degree of F is equal to 0, and in fact you can prove this one just a constant, and because we normalize the coefficient, so basically it's just a constant. And also, if this one is just strictly less than 1, you can prove S must be constant. So there's some gap. So this degree cannot be random as a small one, start from 0, you have 0 there. And because this degree always positive, because it's the sum of some positive number. And if less than three less than between 0 and 1, there is nothing there. Okay? And if there is something exactly equal to 1, and this you can prove, if f either equals the delta function or some translation for Dirichlet error function. So this a is some real number. Okay? But beyond the degree greater than 1, so far nobody know how to really know, even don't know what's the next one or whatever. Okay. So let's so far also the a lot of the many properties, but we just stick to what we need to say here. Okay. And since this S is multiple monoid like the integer, and the integer, this important thing is to come count the decomposition theorem, and there is some prime in there, and every n element can become the product of the prime numbers. The same thing happening here, we want to introduce the same idea in the Silber class. So this comes from the definition. This F, Silber class, is called the primitive. Okay? If only if F can be written as a product, and of course F1, F2 is going to the Silber class, then this implies F1 is completely equal to 1, or the other one is completely equal to 1. So basically like the incomplete element in the Silber class. And this easy query just from the one we have here is the every element in S can be factorized into a finite product. Of the primitive element. This is a conjecture. Yeah, so in fact, that's because there's no 0 and 1, so you can descend argument. Yeah, so after that, it must be stopped. So, yeah, exactly, so this proof, and just by descend argument, basically, you have if f equal to the f1, f2, and the degree of f just equal to degree f1 plus degree f2. Okay, so basically you can easily check there. So it's not okay. So understanding this Silber class basically can reduce the problem in how to understand the primitive elements. Okay, that's the moral. Okay. And of course the Silber not just put everything together and state this kind of condition here, and also make the important conjecture. And that's basically implied for all the L function you are interested in. It's not quite obvious why those things are true. But Silber guess that should be true. So let's come from the title of this talk is this conjecture by Silber. Okay? So there's two parts for this conjecture. The part A, it says that if F belongs to the Silber class, then there is the some integer and such that, and there's some kind of known p less than x for this finite sum of the coefficient for the a p f square divided by p. This should have a syntactic formula, the m f log x, and it's part of big O of the 1. Okay? And so you can easily check the one this example there, like we made that function or whatever. And the other conjecture is concerned about the primitive element is if F and G belong to the Silber class and they are primitive. And then, so this looks like known in the Silber class, and it's like inner product, and we can define inner product form. Like this is AP of F and AG of F bar over P, and this one will be the delta of the F and G, and then for the same log X. Hey. Oh. AP. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. So basically it means the primitive element should be this NF equal to 1, basically, what it said there. Okay? it looks like this condition is not just make a conjecture. In fact, it's the very interesting consequence, and certainly is a lot. So I just want to give the one look interesting to this program. And so let's just indicate how important for this one. So this is a theorem by Romerity. Mbex KU, the conjecture, the B, can imply the Artin holomorphic conjecture. And also can imply the Lagrange reciprocity conjecture for the solvable image. So those conjectures are really not just a guess. In fact, there's very interesting things and can imply very important consequence. Okay. So now we're back to this talk. As I said in the beginning, the main thing for this talk is to try to get some partial sum of the Fourier coefficient and study their property. So there's the name attached to this called summatory function. Okay. So let me just think don't consider something in general. Just think F is in a stable class, and we define the summatory function. Usually denote by the F SS is defined by the following way. It's just a summation for the n less than x for the Fourier coefficient. Okay. And you might ask why we need to study those stuff. And there's a quite easy, just a very, very important property, which is this lemma. And if this f belongs to a stable class, just in case we know this summatory function, have to estimate like a big O of A to this theta, for instance. Then, the F of S, in fact, is the summation for N from 1 to infinity, for the AN to the N of to the S, or for the real part of S is greater than theta. Okay? And it looks like this is a tautology because this function defined already by this way. So the interesting case will be the theta less than 1, okay? And in theta less than 1, and because this derivative, we don't know whether it's absolute converge, and you cannot plug any value. And if you have the estimation for the summatory function, this is probably say you can really do that, okay? Provided you have the theta less than 1, okay? So there's something, if you want to get theta less than 1, you get something non-trivial, okay? So that's basically the very elementary version for why this summatory function is interesting. Okay, and let me just see what's happened there, and what we can, just from the definition, what we can get some estimates from there. So this is some remarks. And the first one, by this Ramanujan hypothesis. And what do you say? This coefficient just bounded to the n to the epsilon, and you sum all of them by triviality. You know this summatory function is bound by the big O of x to the 1 plus epsilon for any epsilon. But this one doesn't help because we say if you have something non-trivial, you must theta less than 1. So this just tell you that something theta is 1 plus epsilon. So it really not help there. Okay, so this is by the trivial estimation. And second one is if FFS has a simple pole, like the pole at s equal to 1. And by the sort of famous Tauberian theorem, tell you the summatory function, in fact, is equal to some kappa of x plus little o of x. That's the satisfy some condition, but in fact, you will assume the a stable conjecture, and this condition satisfied. So you have this one. So this kappa just residue of that at s equal to 1. So this breakout help, if you want to get something theta less than 0, because you get the cup of x here. Okay, so it's no hope. So you want to get something non-trivial, it's you don't want to have a pole. Okay. So this comes from the theorem. And I'm wrong proof. So it's me and the wrong Murphy. And use the Dutch contour integration technique, and we can get it for s belong to the summatory function. And of course, as I say, the multiplication is entire, you want to get some non-trivial result. And then, and this summatory function, you can really get something like big O of x to the theta plus epsilon. And also, if you put the conductor in there, you got this one minus theta. And for what's the theta here? The theta here is the degree divided by degree plus 2. Obviously, this one is less than 1. Okay? And so this break this trivial bound by the Ramanujan hypothesis. I also give you some non-trivial thing we can really get into this critical line here. Okay, so the proof, I don't have time to really go through, but basically just counter. That's contour integration, and the plus the Perron formula, etc. Some study, some stand-up analyze, and then any number theorem technique. Okay. Pardon me? It depends on the. Of course, it depends on f. Yeah, but it's a. So the reason you put this all depends on independent of x and the q, because the q is a conductor and usually you want to, so that's the purpose of the design is you sort of the average for all the family of the some twist or something, and that kind of the conductor will fix. So that's why I put the conductor there. Okay. We can do the independent of the q. The reason is if we think of single. The function there, this q doesn't matter. But however, if you want to try to do the family of the double class and do some average problem, and last time, it doesn't depend on p. Didn't depend. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. So I should say this. That's very good. It's a constant. The applied, the constant. Does not depend. On x, of course, and the q. Okay? Thank you for correcting me. Thank you. But if you use the more fancy machine like the Chernyak-Sihar and Sihar, we can do some finer computation, you can get a little bit better if f belongs to the subclass, and also as soon as the entire. And in this case, we need the extra addition condition is the degree must be greater than 2. In that case, you can get this the summatory function also equal to big O of x to the some theta prime plus epsilon to the q to the 1 minus theta prime. Again, this theta prime just equal to df minus 1 over df plus 1. And this one is strictly less than f of x. Df plus 2 of still less than 1. Okay? So we can get a little bit better on the x. However, look at this comparison here. We even get some exponent on x. X becomes smaller, but you lost the psi on the conductor. Okay? So that's kind of the interesting phenomenon because everybody looking for before, you just think about what happened on x. But in fact, you really count this conductor sign there, you find you can compensate the loss. Okay, and we really don't know how we can really break this bound into the sum of them become less than 1. That will be very interesting to know. Okay, so let's want to say about this summatory function. Okay, so the rest of the time I want to discuss also the partial sum of the Fourier coefficient, but in different context. So we come to the second part, the L function part. It depends on what kind of L function we talk about. So number 3 will be the bridge and minus conjecture. Okay, so everybody already familiar with this topic, and we'll know this one related to some ellipse curve. Let me say the E over Q will be the ellipse curve. Of course, we know that if over Q, you can write the Y transform, that means Y squared, it just takes a simple plus B. And AB is some integer. And the question about this, the long string question is, we want to understand this arithmetic property, especially we want to know what's the solution in integer, or not in integer, but in the rational. So this, the question here is, what is the solution in the integer? And I told you long time ago, one can define the addition law in here, okay? And under this addition law, and one can prove this one is finite generated by the theorem by Mordell. And so basically you can, after you have this one, just undergraduate math question, so you can separate this one to two par. One is the torsion par, and the other par, torsion par is canonical. However, this rank par, is free par, is not canonical. So only you can talk about is their rank. So this is just by abelian and finite generated. And in fact, this the interesting part is probably the good news is it's sort of well understood. By the following sense, first of all, you know how to solve it, because by the theorem of Nagel and Luce, they say this solution must be in the integer. And also, there's some process of algorithm you can really count this one. And the other question is, what kind of thing can be there? And the theorem by Mather tell you only have not much choice, probably 12 or whatever. And you can write down. And every case can repeat infinite times. So this part sort of settled down, if you're interested in really compute this one. So the only thing rest part is how to get this rank of this free part. So now problem is the question here. And what's this R here? Okay? So usually we denote this R is the rank of this E. Okay? So that's a general principle in the mathematics. We know this R contains some arithmetic information, and usually the arithmetic information is can encode into the L function in a certain way, and that's usually what this conjecture talk about. And also, this general principle, this is a global stuff, and if we collect enough local information, we should be able to get back to there. That's also the principle in mathematics. So this leads us to discuss the solution in the finite field. So this is really not something fancy. We just consider P, if P not divided by its discriminant, and definition is 16 of the Q plus 27B squared. Okay? In this case, we want to define its MP, that's the number of the solution over the finite field. So that's what I mean for collecting local data. Of course, this solution wants to count in the project space, so usually this 1 plus 1. And also, we want to figure out the Fourier coefficient, and that's where you define the Fourier coefficient here. And by the theorem of Hassel, you know this AP is bound by the 2 root of the P. Okay? And for the more fancy language, you know this one AP can be written as alpha P plus beta P. And basically this one is come from the eigenvalue for Frobenius. And if you don't like this one, you can just think about alpha P and beta. It's just satisfy these two conditions. And you can solve this one, you can get alpha P and beta P. Okay, and by this hustle, you can just really get this was the link proof, and this one is exactly the Ramanujan conjecture. Okay. Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I think I'm normalizing this. That usually happen in the Selber class, but now here we need to square root C. A hacker. Eichler. Okay. But the link is more general. That's fine. Okay, and so then we can define. I really not define, I just cheating. So this is the L function. And this product, like OLAP, like the, we have the, it's a P, first of all, not divided by this discriminant. And it's 1 minus AP, so P is minus S plus P, from P to negative 2S. And of course, this is for the unramified place. And for the ramified place, and there's something we don't know. So this is E to PS, some polynomial. So this has some nice property. Okay. And so this is time this whole thing. And we just make definition because later on, we only use this, this one for this partial L function. So I just define this one by this partial one. Okay, so how this one link to the problem we post here? Then this bridge and the swine diner, they come in. So this conjecture, let me say this, I just say, you know, the conjecture one by the bridge and the swine diner. And in their first paper, called notes on the Lippe curve in 1963, and they make the conjecture, say, I want to see what happened for this, this product, this Euler product, so MP over P. This MP is come from the counting, is local information. And we just time together, and they found out, they do some numerical calculation. They found this one can be asymptotic to some R. Okay? And in fact, they guess this R should be equal to the rank of the E. Okay? And later on, 2 years later, and they proposed the other conjecture. And also by the Niner, and named by the note on the Lippe curve number 2. And it's 1965. Let's probably now their note about the Springer-Swine conjecture. What they say is this entire L function is entire. And furthermore, and you want to take out the information about rank, and as usual, this rank of E just equal to order of the L of S, S equal to 1. Okay? But just wrong point out, and I make mistake of here. So the something you need to notice is the critical line here is S equal to 1 instead of S equal to 1 half. Okay. Usually, after you look at stable class, and this refreshing 0 and 1, but in this case in Lippe curve, it got 0 and 2. So the critical line will be S equal to 1. So that's why it takes the value in the middle. Okay. Okay, so that's probably this one is most people familiar with here. And what's the relation between these two? Probably because the first one, everybody just forget about it, and I don't know whether Gofier is the first one to dig the relation, but I did write a paper. And what I say is the theorem, a Gofier. And what you say is, okay, if you have a conjecture one, you can imply the conjecture two. And in fact, you can the byproduct is just you can get the Riemann hypothesis. Okay, so in fact, this condition look like the just like some basic number calculation. You can imply really powerful stuff. Okay? And I cannot run through all the proof. I just gave you the hard idea and how this partial sum involved in here. The idea of the proof and just indicate why this one links to my talk. Okay? Let me just give definition for this product EX and equal to this, the finite product PX, the P less than X. Yeah, the Riemann hypothesis certainly is. We talk about generalized hypothesis on this L function. I hope everybody already assumed that part. Okay. Now the Riemann hypothesis for the zeta function, I believe. Okay. So this is a Euler product, and it's really easy. Just use this relation. I just wrote there and take the factorization, And you can get this one is p less than x, 1 minus alpha p over p, and 1 minus beta p over p. It's an easy exercise. And then you take a log. You take a log of them. I think you might need to go negative in order to get some part. And then you can take the log on the every side and use the tail expansion and sum all of them. So you got the dimension for the p, like p less than x, and the other dimension for k from the 1 to infinity. And then you take some power like this of the k of the p to dk. Fair enough? Okay, so this is the elementary statistics application. And then it seems to look like this. It's reasonable to take this one as some abbreviation. So, and define, and there's something called the Cn, just equal this guy. For this p, not divided by this one, and n equal to the p to the k, and of course, zero otherwise. So this one really becomes something like this. After you have this definition, and it's just your summation for p less than x, summation k from the 1 to infinity, and c to the dk. That's make it easy. Okay? So how this one relative to our L function? Because this one, look at this conjecture, basically this is a finite product something, and this is something about L function. So must be some link between them. In fact, let's also use the identity. So, in fact, you can, if we look at log LE tilde of the x plus 1, in fact, this one, if you like, you can just write it down. It's like a p, and the summation for the k from 1 to infinity, and alpha p to the k plus beta p to the k of the k of the p to the k for the x plus 1. Also, if you just basic exercise, you can, this Lilly curve, this L function, probably put here. And this every factor you can factorize, and then after factorize look like this, and take a log, and you got this one. Okay? So in fact, this one just equal to what? The summation, summation for n from the 1 to infinity, and cn of n to the x. So the application, the coefficient appear here. In fact, that's the Fourier coefficient of a log of the partial function, x plus 1. So that's the link between them. And if you like, you can define the capital Cx just equal to the like summatory function, the Cn. And you can rewrite this one, become some integration form. So that's what I say, this one, this partial summation function is important because now you can write this L function in terms of this. Okay? And then this one is awfully close to the summatory function. In fact, it's just basically the lemma and pretty easy to get. It's this Cx. It's Cx for the asymptotic to the log of the PEX. Not quite really a study, but you can get this one. Or more precisely what I want to say is assume the conjecture one, you can imply your CX equal next log R of log X plus on the other constant A plus little O of 1. In fact, this is the equivalent. You can easily prove that. So let's link in between these two. As long as you have this, assume the conjecture one, that means only assume this asymptotic part, not about this rank conjecture. But as long as you have the asymptotic formula, and this is the equivalent. And there's something on this higher power of the P, but it can be controlled by ranking server method. Okay. And before I finish this digression about this proof, I just tell you how this one can imply the Riemann hypothesis. So look at this estimation here. And so this log x, oh sorry, this log of the L tilde of the E of x plus 1. In fact, you can plug in, if you assume the conjecture 1, you can just plug in this estimation here. And the negative R log x plus on A plus the total of the 1 from x to the x plus 1 dx. And this one, in fact, is holomorphic for the real power of x greater than zero. Yeah, because there's some positive power, just a little bit, enough to beat this or the whole thing on top. And this certainly implies this log of the ES without the shift is holomorphic for the real power of S is greater than 1. Remember, I mentioned here this critical line is S equal to 1. And if this guy is holomorphic greater than S equal to 1, this directly implies the LEX is holomorphic. In fact, it has no zero and the pole for the real power of S greater than 1. That's exactly what Riemann hypothesis. Okay? So, in fact, as long as you have such estimation, why we don't need the log x, something little bit smaller x or something, and you definitely take a log or something, and then you can really get the result like this. So this is really a very strong conjecture one. Okay, so now I want to say is how we can say about this CX, whether we can prove this, whether this kind of asymptotic formula is true. Okay, so that's my goal. So it's to the power 4, and just little o. Let me see what we have so far. So we know this conjugate 1 is equivalent to some asymptotic formula for the summatory function. And however, this summatory function, this CX, really not the one we are familiar with, because this is the coefficient for the shift L function. Okay? So give a definition. Let me say C2 dot X. By definition, just Cn times n. So by definition, just alpha p to the k plus beta p to the k over k. And of course, it's just p not divided by this one and equal to p to the k and zero otherwise. And there's something similar to that. And this one is called relative to the partial function, but not just shift, but it's just the L function. And this one just equals summation for the Cn to the n to the s and from 1 to infinity. That's the frequency for this one. And then we can, the similar thing, we can define the summatory function. Okay? And why this one is more familiar with what we know? In fact, this, let me put it over here. So in fact, this C2 dot X is asymptotic to the other one. And if you just sum over, by definition, you just sum over the P less than X and C2 dot X. Okay? Because also you can control the higher power for the P in a certain way. Not completely equal, but you can control in a certain way. And what this one is? And the Cn2 dot, if just, it's just this one, just P, and you plug in P here, that means K equals 1. So this one just equals summation p less than x alpha p plus beta p. It just equals summation p less than x of ap. So we're back to the original business for the Fourier coefficient for L function. So that's why this one is more familiar with, because it's asymptotic stuff. And also the other interesting thing is this c bar x behave like the remainder term. remain the trends of in the prime number theory. Okay, the remainder term of the prime number theory basically tell you relative to the distribution with zeros. So the same thing happened here. So what, so more precise, let me say this phi of x by definition is come from the and less than x is log, so p. So regular this one, and we know this one has been assigned to the x and the plus some remainder term. So this is the remainder term I talk about. Okay? And in the classical, we can say something about this one and then probably use the same method. Theoretically, we can get this one with the same thing. Okay? And before I tell you what's this thing here, I want to tell you how this conjecture one can give you the behavior estimation for this one. So this is basically the lemma. The conjecture one implies this C2 by X, and therefore this C by X is beta of X. So that's our title. Okay, so this, now I can give the proof. Really not hard. Because this is just a CFX, and we know the CX, the relation between CX and the C by X just a time N. So this is C2 by X. Just equals dimension CN times N and less than X. And this one, just you want to use the integration notation, it's just to X and the T of DCT. The real max digit integration. And use the partial summation, you can pull all these things, the x, cx, and the minus take the derivative, negative to x, ct of dt. Now you can plug in this asymptotic formula, you scale your x of the negative gamma log x plus a plus little of the 1, and this one just x of the same thing. So this should be T. And after calculation, you can see this one is canceled. And this one not really quite canceled, but the remainder term will be little of x. You can use the proof this one is little of x. So write down. Okay? So this is just trivial computation. And usually we lose a lot of information from this computation. The reason because you go up m. And you do this kind of things. And for instance, what you have is little of x, but here you have a asymptotic formula. So basically, you just must lose something. Okay? So basically, they tell you the application, implication for this conjecture one, for this C2 dx. Now I can say about something here. So in classically, so what's the relation between this one? In fact, this Cx, this one is sort of the same as the R of x, because now you shift this one, because it's the symmetric line, this one is 1/2, but this x, so you need to compensate by this one, but this one has the log p, so you take out this weight. So basically, that's the correspondence you might get. So let me say what happened, we know about this one. So this is r of x, and the left one will be the c bar f, which is asymptotic to the r of x times the x to 1/2 divided by log x. Okay? If you assume the Riemann hypothesis, and one can show that this is equal to big O of x to 1/2 and log x squared. Yeah, classical Euler function. So that's the O, I think, is classical. But here, theoretically, we should be able to use the same technique. So here, let's use the translation table. What you get is x and log x. And then if you even you take the stronger conjecture, like the pair correlation conjecture, then you can get a little bit better, 2/3 x, and after this transportation table, what we get will be the 1/2 of x. Okay? So even you do these two conjectures, only you get is this one. And the conjecture tell you this one should be smaller. So we really don't know how we can put this one. However, if you assume the linear independence of the zeros, and Montgomery gives some heuristic argument, tell you that this one should be equal to the take all of the x 1 half and triple log x squared. Okay? And let's call this random mixture confounded. They take the random zero and then do the calculation. And then if here, then this is big O of the x and log square x divided by log x. But this one indeed is little of x. Okay? So if it was in this one, so it will fit in our explanation. Expectation because this one is little of x, but we still don't know whether this just tell you it should be like this, but whether this one can imply it, we don't know. However, you think if you want to disprove it, that means if you want this one, it's because this one implies it's a little of x, you want to disprove it, that means you want to make a big O of x, omega of x. For this one, then you have an unconditioned theorem by Romerity and use the method of Littlewood, and they can prove this one equal to the log x. Okay? And then translate to here is omega of x log x divided by log x. But still not quite enough because this one is still little of x. You cannot show this one because this one is smaller x. Okay, so you cannot really not push up. So really for you want to go to from this side and go to the other side, you cannot reach this one in the middle. However, this is just a conclusion. That's the consequence of this one, for this conjecture one. Amazingly, we can prove the conversely. So that's me and Murti. And the same time by Keith Conrad. And probably the same time. And we prove the same thing is if the C2 dot of x is O of x, it implies the conjecture one. And a little bit misleading here, this conjecture one just means asymptotic part, not about rank part. Okay? The rank part should big induce the I think you need to raise to the arithmetic property for the L function, so we still don't know. So in fact this is equivalent, so that's become the theorem. Okay. Okay. So I really don't have time to discuss the proof, but basically the proof is you need to use the proof I don't want mention too much, but basically use the theorem of the Reeds. Whatever. The Reeds and I think 1910 or something, very old theorem, and basically tell you, you have some little O of X, you can get some asymptotic equation for the top side. That's what the Reeds theorem talk about. Okay, so really don't not lose anything for there. Okay. And so I have the 5 minutes. And so we already gave you the two of the application for the summatory function. So I want to give you the one more in a quick way. So number five is subtle tape. Okay. I really don't have time to say much, but what they say is we know this AP is less than 2 of square root of P of the solid case concern about Lviv curve. And then you can write the AP become the 2 of the root P of some cosine of the theta P. Okay? Of course, because it's something less than 1, you always can do that. Okay, so the solid case conjecture basic says this theta p is distributed with respect to some certain major. So let me write precisely if the let me say basically say it's, if you have the p less than x and then the theta p between the alpha and the beta, and this number should be asymptotic to the integrating alpha to beta and 2 over pi for some phi squared theta d theta. And of course, times time the pi of x. So this really, and of course, this I cheat a little bit, this E should be non-CM. Non-CM type, okay? And it's the old hologram program tell you if you have the symmetric power a certain way, you can really prove back in the cell by cell, and also the Kumar Murti tell you can remove the non-zero condition on the x equal to 1. So basically you have a symmetric power, you have this theorem. Okay, so but there's still some question there. is how about this, this always talk about here is it's a central case trivial. What happened is central case not trivial, and the Henry asked the question about in the class, and Ron tried to do a little bit there. And the theorem I can tell you is really is firing, but it's not encouraging, but this is a theorem. I mean, and Murty, it says if F is the, is also the, let me say it's a holomorphic, classical form, classical of the Napping type. Let me say the omega is non-trivial, okay? And also we want this non-CM case. It's not the critical field, not the event under some twist of the character. Then assume the Ramanujan conjecture, and then you can get the same thing because the Ramanujan basically tell you you have the some eigenvalue and the alpha p beta p and alpha p is known, and so you have the angle. And so this one, you can prove that f is not it's theta p, it's not distributed respect to the subtotate, this subtotate major. We have an orange function, all the holomorphic form, right? That's right. Yeah, we only assume the this in that case we without any condition we know, because then the non-zero case basically tell you the square is trivial. So basically you can prove this is not distributed back to the south take on the major, that means by this one. A certain constant. Okay. So that's the theorem we really can prove in this case. And also this technique evolved again, like the summatory function for the Fourier coefficient. And the equivalent the statement for this one is some finite sum infinite some moment of this summatory function, and then you can get some kind of result like this. So that's over the other application for the summatory function. Okay, that's all for today.